Introduction to Hayek was presented by Casey Pilcher at Gutenberg College's 2010 Summer Institute, entitled Democracy, a User's Manual. The copyright for this recording is held by Gutenberg College, Inc., 2010. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
I'm going to describe Hayek in this essay in the context of history, and in particular in the context of U.S. history a little bit, both past and present, because it is very interesting what he's doing. Let's start with when he's writing. 1945, he goes to University College in Dublin, and he presents this essay. The essay, as you know, is on two forms of individualism. He starts with this question that, hey, there's the most misunderstood term, and it's so misunderstood, we actually have two forms of individualism. And he fills out how these two forms come to be. So he describes two traditions. So he has the British tradition and the continental tradition. British meaning, of course, Britain, which includes Scotland. And he's referring to the British Enlightenment and the Scottish Enlightenment in particular. And out of that came a few, we have a few authors we need to refer to. There's Adam Smith and Edmund Burke. He cites other authors, but I'm just going to fill in just a few. For on the continental side, the heavy hitter we're going to put is Descartes. Okay, the continental tradition. When we refer to the continent, that's a philosophical kind of term. It just basically means France, Germany, and it's referring to the whole region in Europe where continental philosophy is developed. Largely, it's developed quite a bit through the French Enlightenment, or the Enlightenment that is coming through France. Smith and Burke are doing an Enlightenment that is virtually... These two are working virtually in opposition to each other. Descartes, we had to read Descartes' Method in Math. Chris could give you the detail. He basically wipes everything away, and he starts with, what can I know? And he builds this method where you are not allowed to go to the next step until the previous step is fully satisfied on a rational level. So he doesn't want to import tradition. He doesn't want to import values or import really anything. He wants to start over, wipe it all away, and start and build on something so we can say we know something with certainty. So they're focusing on the certainty, I guess, of man's knowledge. On this side, there is there's a different project. It's more focusing on the limits to man's knowledge. So that's going to include, of course, David Hume. These two would not have been in favor of wiping everything away and starting over. They're saying things like tradition and values. That plays a very important role in the whole scope of history, and we need to be aware of where we've come from. We don't want to wipe away and start over. We're not looking for a clean slate. So there are those two traditions. Now, not surprisingly, these two traditions contributed to many different things, one of which we have classical liberalism. Okay, and I'm going to put a couple of authors. This is where Hayek falls. And people like Friedman and Bonhoeffer's sister, Milton Friedman, who I think he came after Hayek, correct? Yes, okay. So it was Mises, Hayek, and Friedman. What's that? Have you guys seen the Hayek-Keynes debate on YouTube? Oh my gosh, we'll have to play that. We'll play that Friday night. It'll be fun. Okay. Over here, we have a grown view that's coming out of that's coming out of Europe. In particular, it's coming out of Hegel. It's got a whole lot of other contributions. We talked a lot about Marx last year. I'm not going to go into it with great depth, but essentially this comes out of this thinking that, I mean, it's complicated. It's doing a lot of things. But essentially it's that planning, not really the best way to say it. Not the best way to say it, because I don't want to misrepresent Marx. What's that?
Organization.
Yeah, I'm sorry? Yeah, that comes out of this. This Marx is doing something a little bit different because we have the Hegel factor. And so he's actually not thinking of this grand organization. He's seeing man as evolving into the perfect society. So, the March of History to go? Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, that's suffice it to say. Okay, so Hayek, as he's describing these two traditions, British and Continental, he starts talking about true individualism versus socialism. So when I was reading it, I started getting this sense that, okay, he's also talking about a very clear divide in the United States. But this is kind of where the United States fall, and we really don't fall that far over. So what is he referring to? So let me put this on a timeline. So you have classical liberalism, which is pretty much like the reigning paradigm. I mean, it's changing a lot, but up until 1929, what happens in 1929? Yes, okay. In the start of the Great Depression. Okay, so you go from classical liberalism.
Can you define classical liberalism?
Well, you guys are going to define classical individualism, and that, so I'm not, I don't want to get too much right.
But it's more or less a broad, free, open market.
Yes.
Not a ton of government.
Not a ton of government, but freedom is the reigning principle. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, but this, we have a switch then at the Great Depression to what some are going to call modern liberalism. And under this paradigm, you're going to find John Maynard Keynes, who we read last year, John Kenneth Galbraith. Okay, and others. Keynes, he developed a theory of employment. I'm not going to go into that now, but these guys, this whole philosophy was pretty much a fusion between those two. We need more, or maybe more rightly to say, like that. We need more planning. We need more centralization. This project failed, and it failed because of this. Okay. So, when he's talking about these two, this great divide between the two kinds of individualism, he's not talking here. He's talking here. So his view, I would say, of socialism or planning, he's criticizing all of this over here. Okay? And it makes sense because this is when he's writing, when modern liberalism is kind of a reigning paradigm until really 1980s when you have a couple of things, Ronald Reagan, and then when did the fall of the Berlin Wall?
89.
I think it was 89. Was it 91? Anyway, okay. I thought it was 89. Anyway, so somewhere in there. And what happens at this point, we start shifting to something else, which this is debatable. It makes sense to me. That's why I'm giving it to you guys. But it's neoliberalism. Neoliberalism is a project which is trying to get back more to this side of things. And so it falls more here. What you'll notice in this process is this pendulum swing. So go from classical to modern, try to go to neo. And really, quite honestly, what we're doing right now, under the Obama administration, is moving more back towards society. We'll see how long that lasts before the pendulum swings back. So that's the context that Hayek is writing in. He's writing in looking at this picture here. This is very much an issue, and very much an undercurrent. Of course, it's not through Marx. You've got more Stalinism. But that is the context. And so there are a couple things I think would be really helpful in your discussion group. Really try to understand the two traditions. I would try to understand who authored them. And then what are the essential characteristics of both? I'm going to start assuming that you guys, the next lecture, that you guys have kind of filled that out. We'll kind of go over it, but that's a suggestion. There are so many things you guys can talk about with this essay. I love this essay. I'm a huge Hayek fan. He brings up some of the threads are issues of quality. He has a couple of one-liners that come out of nowhere. And what in the world do I do with this? So those may come up, however you guys want to take it. But if you could talk about the two traditions, the who and the what characteristics, then I'll fill it out more from there and bring in a lot of more of Hayek's philosophy that's not actually in this essay. So, okay. I guess any questions? No? We got time to spare? Okay. Oh, yes, that's a good point. He's Austrian. He's out of the Austrian School of Economics, which he would have studied under von Mises. Yes.
You said the Great Depression happened because of the free market system?
Well,
that's what the modern liberals
claim is. The claim is we're going to shift over here because this is a failed experiment. Well, it depends on who you ask. Are you going to ask people from this perspective or from this perspective? So if you're coming from this perspective, they're going to treat it very differently and being very prescriptive in how to deal with it. Yes?
Do you have a name for the new...
I have a place. Denmark. How's that for helpful? It's my homeland. I'm Danish, so I had to bring Denmark in. Yeah. The happiest country in the world. And actually, at the very end of my next lecture, if we have time, it'd be fun to talk about this. Because Hayek deals very wonderfully with this. But if he were alive today, I think he'd have to write another book, quite honestly. I think he'd have to fill out his perspective a little bit more. Denmark, in my mind, presents some interesting questions. Not really problems. It doesn't get rid of any of this. It just presents some interesting questions. But we can deal with that after, and I'm sure there are neoliberal philosophers that I'm just, and economists that I'm just not aware of. So, okay.